WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Childcare is not just a family issue. It's now a hot political one. President Clinton's first two choices for attorney general were derailed because of childcare. Working women with children have to live with this issue every day. Karen Nussbaum is the executive director of 9 to 5, a national organization of working women she co-founded 20 years ago. They've just issued their annual profile of working women. Based on the most recent data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Census Bureau, it shows that women in the workplace have gained and lost in recent years.
Well, I think things have changed for working women. There are more of us in the workplace, which I think on the whole is good. You find more of us in management or professional jobs, and that's also a step forward. But in general, the problems are even more severe than they were 20 years ago. More women work because they absolutely have to. They're either the sole support of their families or their husbands earn less than $15,000 a year. Wages for women have been falling instead of growing with our higher-level jobs or increased skills. And we find that we are working more hours, and then that's combined with less pay. So the stress on working women and on families in general is just enormous.
You note that women's wages have declined since 1979. Is this true for men's wages as well?
Men's wages have also fallen, although it's not as uniformly true for all categories as it is for women. And this is it's startling in a way because this is the period during which women's jobs experienced an increase in skill level. So, for example, if you looked at clerical work, which is the largest job sector for women, one out of three women work as clerical workers, over the last 10 or 15 years, women in clerical jobs have been using far more complicated equipment, have had to learn how to use the machinery to do the jobs, but at the same time, their wages have been falling after you account for inflation.
And other jobs that you see where women's wages are falling as well?
Sure. You do find it in other job categories as well. It's not just the victimization of women, although we find that women are more vulnerable to the negative trends. But it's part of an overall development that's taking place for the American workforce, and that is the consequence of a business strategy that said the way we'll compete internationally is to put the squeeze on wages and to start eliminating benefits.
And the result of that, you're saying, is lowered wages for both men and women.
Yes. Yeah, so that we're finding that both men and women are having lower wages, and to the degree that there is a smaller wage gap between the wages of men and women, that's largely because men's wages have fallen, as we've seen the significant decline in higher-paid blue-collar factory jobs, and those men end up going into lower-paid service sector jobs.
Your report notes that one quarter of working women have low-paying jobs. You also note that two-thirds of all minimum wage workers are women.
Right, so that you've got most workers who are at minimum wage are women, most part-time workers are women, most heads of household who are in poverty are women. When you're looking at who is hurting the most, it is women wage earners and their families.
President Clinton recently signed the Family Leave Act. It applies to workers in companies of 50 or more employees, providing 12 weeks of unpaid leave for the birth of a baby or the adoption of a baby or a child or illness in the family. How do you think this will change the workforce? Or the workplace, rather?
Sure. I think the passage of the Family and Medical Leave Act is a tremendous victory, both for its substance, because it will actually improve the lives of some working parents, but also for its symbolic value. It is the first piece of legislation that says it is the rightful role of government to talk about work and family, to say that something has to change, that there's got to be some give on the part of businesses. And I think that that's as important a step as could have been taken.
Does it go far enough?
Oh, the bill itself doesn't go nearly far enough. No, it covers only half of all workers explicitly, and it doesn't solve the big problem of what do you do for income while you're on that leave, which is a problem particularly for low-income workers. But at least what it says is that this is a problem that will not go away, and it is not just the responsibility of parents, that if we expect adults to go to work every day, and we expect women as well as men to go to work every day, then someone has to take care of their families, that this can't just be the burden of on families themselves.
Well, let's talk about child care, since it's obviously been in the news so much. The report that you issued said that 70% of working women with children under six are working full-time. What kind of child care arrangements are working women finding for themselves?
Well, most women are turning to traditional child care arrangements. 40% of children are cared for by relatives. So you know, leave your kids with your mother, or your sister watches your kids when you go to work. Another approximately quarter of women or of children are cared for in family daycare, which means that the woman down the block watches four or five kids during the day, and that's who you leave them with. Another 25% or so are actually in daycare centers. And then a tiny fraction, 6%, are looked after in the home by a nanny or a housekeeper or a babysitter.
How much does child care eat up of a family's income?
Well, the less money you have, the more it costs you. So that if you're a low-income family, it's about 23% of your income. The average working family pays 10%, and those at the top are only 5%. But if you've got several kids in child care, even with a relatively high income, it can cost a lot. I had three kids in child care at one point, and I paid 25% of my income on child care. It's enormous. It's as much as you pay for rent or food or taxes.
Do you think there should be some kind of a national child care system, and do you think that would solve the problems of working Americans?
I think what we see is utter chaos. There is no child care system, and it's we must have a child care system. When the Zoe Baird and Kimball Wood cases arose, what we found was the window shade rising, and you saw that there's that it's awful back there. It's terrible for the parents who are looking for child care, and it's terrible for the providers as well, so that we find that both parents and child care workers are finding the best of bad solutions. Parents look for low-cost providers. Providers try to get paid under the table so they don't have to pay Social Security because they can't afford that. We need a child care system. We need one that says that child care is valuable work and it will be paid at a higher rate. And then we also need a system that says parents will be able to afford this, which requires both higher pay for low-income parents, but also real investment on the part of both business and government.
Do you see the value in the status of women and children being linked? That somehow, as your report points out, many women are working at low-paying jobs and low-status jobs. And then you look at the condition of child care for the children of these women. Do you see that there's some connection there?
Sure. Actually, of course, it's women and children last in this society as opposed to women and children first. When most people in poverty in this country are children, what does that say about how much we care about children? Women are the people who are responsible for their children. Women aren't valued in the workplace, and their responsibilities at home are considered to be ones that they'll just take care of. These are enormous problems. They are, and that's why women, I think, are organizing. That's why they're demanding more changes, and that's why I think it's hopeful that now, for the first time, issues that concern working women are some of the flashpoint issues. Anita Hill tells the world that she's been sexually harassed, and that becomes a flashpoint. The issue over child care becomes a flashpoint in making appointments to the cabinet or high appointments in the government. Child care and family leave become important issues on the national agenda. There's beginning to be a resonance, a change of opinion about it, but I think unless women really organize and force the debate and push the policy solutions, then we won't get much further.
Karen Nussbaum, thank you very much for joining us on Fresh Air today.
Thank you, Marty.
Karen Nussbaum is the executive director of 9 to 5, a national organization of working women. This is Fresh Air.